welcome to another episode of Meet Me in the Middle. I'm Xander Fadley, just a normal guy.
And I'm Hunter York, an extraordinary fellow.
Yeah, okay. Extraordinary fellow. He's a soccer writer for Azteca and Soccer Pro. And has Football Boot Review, where he reviews football cleats, as in soccer cleats.
Yeah, so, football boots, soccer cleats, they're all the same. Why can't we all just get along?
Because this
That's
is
all I want.
Because this is America. This is America. And since we're having a soccer thing today, and this is America, let's start with basketball.
Obviously, for obvious reasons, let's start with the national basketball episode.
Talking about basketball. Okay, last night, the Raptors got a game on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Did not see it coming, obviously, if you heard episode 2. But
we thought, though, that they were either going to win one or they weren't going to win at all. And I think that they got the one out of their system.
Cavs got the one out of the system. I will say that I was largely wrong. The thing I got right was they needed more rim protection. They forced Cleveland to make threes, which they did. But I think Cleveland did make a major misstep when they had LeBron off of DeRozan for so long. They had him off of him defensively for most of his run. And once they put him on him, the offense really shut down in the fourth quarter. I mean, they didn't score much in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I think the other big factor of the game was obviously two out of the big three for Cleveland struggling so much.
It
was just ridiculous how they struggled. Like, yeah. What was their first half stats? It was something unbelievably low.
Like I said last night, it reminded me a lot of game one of the Western Conference. Cleveland felt as out of it as the Warriors did in that game. And that you could see them like start to get a run together. Like, okay, here we go. Now they'll take back over. And then it'll just peter out into nothingness because they'll have like a turnover or just it would just dissipate into nothingness out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I think it'll be a wake-up call for Cleveland as well because, I mean, as we alluded to Friday, they had not lost in the postseason
Night. Had not lost,
Yeah, they had not lost, and now they have. And now they're 10-1, which is still crazy impressive.
Well, just like with Western Conference Game 1, I would not imagine that they would have that poor of a shooting night again, especially Kevin Love. He had good looks that he just straight up missed.
It just wouldn't go in. It was nuts.
He was like, I think at one point he was 1 of 7 with most of those shots being threes, but they were good look threes that he just ended up missing. It's a quandary, and it was unheralded, and it probably won't happen again. That'd be my guess.
I still think the series is over. I just think the dominance the Cavs showed in the first two games will carry over the rest of the series. There's always one game or two in every series that you just kind of go, huh? Like, what was going on there? And I think that was this game. So I think it's over still. Yeah. I think they'll take the Monday game, and I think they'll win heftily at Toronto.
Heftily. Not heavily, but heftily.
Heftily.
All right. We've got Western Conference Game 3 going on tonight. It's a toss-up for me. They're at home. I don't know. We'll see who shows up. Right?
I hope both teams will show up. That'll make it a game. If one team just doesn't show up.
If one team showed up, they'd also have to forfeit if they didn't show up.
So, I think Warriors win, but part of me wants a really good series.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you feel for Kevin. Kevin, he's such a good player, and there's so many players right now that are just stuck in a time where they don't have the team and talent around them to go far enough, you know?
Yeah, like Paul George.
I wasn't going to say it, but
answers. Anyways, let's jump into soccer.
Let's get into it. Let's get into
it. Because we've put it off to talk about the National Basketball Association.
No, stop. Don't even talk about it. We're talking about the Centenario Copa America.
And with that, you obviously are going to get the squads announced for these teams. And obviously, in America, we want to know who's representing the U.S. of A. And we found out yesterday.
We did. We found out.
Who's going to be on the team.
Most of them were foregone conclusions. We are happy to see Pušilić get on the team.
Pulisic.
There we go.
Yeah. The 17-year-old who regularly features for Borussia Dortmund in Germany.
Is he I saw rumors that he's moving, possibly. Is he doing that, or is he staying with Borussia?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you're that great of a talent at that young of an age, you're going to get looked at from everywhere. And, I mean, Man City's rumored to be interested. Liverpool, United. I've seen rumors of Barca.
Whoa, that would be nuts.
Yeah, but I also, he would never play.
So it'll be a bad move. Yeah, bad move.
I personally hope he stays at Dortmund at least another season.
Well, I saw that Dortmund are definitely going to try to keep him regardless. Because, of course, you want to try to keep him. He's a great player.
Yeah.
The shock of the list, of course, the shocking omission was Jordan Morris.
And rightfully so. Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if he had stayed in Germany with Werder Bremen after he tried out for them, he'd be on the team. Even if he had an okay season, he'd be on the team.
It would be a reward from Jurgen just for staying abroad, where he wants his players to be.
Yeah, that's where the whole clashing of heads comes together with MLS and U.S. soccer, is that Dan Garber, the commissioner, wants these players to come back. However, the U.S. national team coach, Jurgen Klinsmann,
and head of most of their operations,
is saying, go overseas, develop.
Yeah.
Don't come over here and just play against average opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've looked in the past, what made Tim Howard so good?
He was playing in the EPL against the best strikers in the world.
Exactly. What made Dempsey so good for a while?
He was playing in the EPL against the best teams in the world. Some of the best
Bobby
teams.
Bobby Wood now is coming into his own because he's playing in Germany.
Hey, I was on Bobby Wood's bandwagon a long time ago. I'm just going to put that out there.
So we're having this issue. Is now, I mean, if we look at the squad right now, I mean, most of these guys are playing in MLS. And if they're not in MLS, they're playing in obscure situations elsewhere, unless you're Bobby and Johnson, Timmy Chandler, Pulisic, Bobby Wood, and I believe there's one more on here. It could be wrong, but that play over in Germany. First, Tottenham Hotspur, but he spent the season on loan at Sunderland in a relegation battle and helped them stay up. That's huge. I think that experience alone is going to help him.
Were you talking about Yedlin there? You cut out.
Yeah, DeAndre Yedlin. Yeah, sorry.
That's what I thought.
I think Yedlin, that season with Sunderland, after a relegation scrap.
Right.
And they stayed up.
Yeah.
That's going to help them make it to the next.
Which is something
going to help him go to the next level.
Which is something you could not say for our starting goalkeeper, Brad Guzan. He was in a scrap. He wasn't in a scrap. He was in a rotting corpse of a team who failed.
To say the least.
Three wins? Was it three wins on the season that they ended up with?
I think so. They lost a lot.
When you're relegated with like five matches to play, you probably lost a lot.
Well, I mean, I've never been a Guzan supporter.
Me neither.
And mainly because a U.S. soccer fan, and an EPL supporter, I've never seen a big deal. When he represents the U.S., he never plays well.
Right.
Maybe one or two times he's had a good game, but besides that, he lets in two or three goals.
Yeah.
And you can blame defense all you want.
Right.
But it's not. It's him. They go right by him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the EPL, he was dreadful. Just dreadful. But that whole team was.
Right.
But he was absolutely awful.
He did nothing to elevate his team around him.
No. And unless he has an incredible Copa America, he's going to be playing in the championship next season of English soccer, not the Premier League.
Right, because he's not going to get picked up by a better team, is what you're saying.
And right now, he shouldn't be. There's absolutely no reason why he should be picked up.
However, I will say that Jurgen was not committed to Guzan as the number one, other than just his jersey number, which he is number one. But as the number one goalkeeper, because he said, going into the tournament, Guzan will be our starting goalkeeper. But that's just going into the tournament. If he has a bad game, I would not be shocked at all to see Tim step into goal.
Yeah, and I think that I think if both of them play bad and we have a game that we can spare, why not put Ethan Horvath in?
Right, our 20-year-old keeper. 20-year-old keeper. Who was somewhat of a surprise. They usually go with an older guy for that third keeper, but we already have our older guy in Tim Howard. He's a little long in the tooth, as they say, and why not get a young guy in the mix? Which is what he did.
Yeah, and I think this kid could be special because he was the I believe he started all year with Mold FK, which I believe is in Sweden or Norway, but they won their group in the Europa League.
Hey, that's no joke.
Yeah, so I think it's an impressive little thing that he's in the squad. I hope that if he is able to get minutes, it is not unbelievably valuable minutes, as this is his debut in the senior squad.
Right.
I think our back line looks healthy. I like that. Bessler and Brooks.
Bessler.
I really like that back line.
Oh, we've got Johnny back. Good old Johnny boy, hero of the World Cup.
Oh, man. I mean, Brooks is special. What is he, 22? I mean, he's young.
And he's Bessler, huge. Don't forget, he is enormous.
Oh, what, he's 6'4 or something? He's massive. Darlington Nagbe into the squad already after just getting his U.S. citizenship this last year, if I'm correct.
Hey, I don't care.
He's a good player.
Where's he from?
I'm not sure where he's from, but I know he plays for the Timbers.
Okay. If that's one of the squads I'd be okay with people playing on.
Well, they're struggling this year, but
they are.
I mean, they're going to struggle more when half their players are gone to play in the Copa America. Play in other tournaments.
Right.
Jeff Cameron, he could be interesting. He had a pretty good year with Stoke, so I think he's a good addition.
Mm-hmm.
The one everyone's upset about, obviously, is Morris. They want Wondolowski out of the squad.
Yes, well, I've wanted Wondolowski.
Well, I'm not a Wando supporter. I'm not at all.
I've wanted Wondolowski out of the squad since the Gold Cup in, 2009?
Oh, that was way back, man.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been a Wando fan since then. I have a
that's very 2008?
Begrudging memory.
How do you miss, man? It's almost worth a challenge. Hey, actually, listeners, I challenge you. Go get a soccer ball. Lace up your cleats. Go about 5 yards in front of the goal and attempt to hit it over.
Like way over. Way over.
Oh, nearly straight up.
Have a friend stand to the side and roll a ball slowly in front of you and try to blast it over the top with full strength.
Try it out of 10 and see how many accidentally go in. I bet you'll make at least 6 out of 10, if not all of them. It takes so much skill to be that bad.
And the worst part is, he is so productive in the MLS. It's ridiculous. Like, you see the logic behind him getting the selection. Right now, he is the top goal scorer in the MLS, I believe.
I can check. I don't know if he is or not, but...
He has more goals than Jordan Morris right now. So you're like, well, I mean, if you're looking for a striker for your team, why not get the guy who has more production? Yet when he plays for the national team, it's always, he lays an egg. It's just a deplorable performance where he squanders valuable opportunities in key moments of the game.
Yeah, Wondolowski is tied for second in goals.
Okay, tied for second.
So, yeah, he's way more productive than Morris. I don't think Morris is ready because he's not challenge. He didn't challenge himself. He took the easy road by coming back.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I've wanted to talk about this for some time because it's been... It just ate at me because why? Why would you squander a chance to go overseas?
Make more money and play in a top league. What more reason do you need? Make more money.
More money, more experience, better league.
In the end, you can be like Tim Howard and come back when you're too old to have a starting job.
Exactly.
And then you'll still get paid plenty of money, and you'll be able to live at home, and he's going to play for his hometown team, the Colorado Rapids.
Yeah, right? He's going to the Rapids.
He's from Denver, I think, so that's why.
He's coming soonish, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, the season's over for... he'll probably come after the Copa America.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't think he'll make a difference in MLS, to be fair.
Well, no, but, you know...
Because he hasn't really played for Everton in a while.
Well, he got injured, right? Or did he just get benched?
Well, it was a mix of both. I think he got hurt slightly, and then they just went with Joel Robles.
Right.
Anyway, to the other big tournament this summer, the Olympics. And one that has upset people here in the States is that Neymar has chosen with an asterisk on it, that he is going to play in the Olympics, not the Copa America. However, I agree with the decision. The Olympics are later in the year.
Yep.
And the Copa is in like 2 weeks.
Right.
So Barcelona is playing as we speak in the Copa del Rey.
Right.
He would immediately jet off to a team in America, or right now to Brazil to train, and play another, well, it's Brazil, so let's assume 8 matches at least.
Right.
In the Copa.
And then...
Then he'd go to the Olympics.
Right. Very soon thereafter.
Yeah, so what... Brazil wanted him to do both. But Barcelona said, no, we only want the Olympics.
And I think if you take a step back and look at it logically, does Brazil really need to have Neymar on top of all the other talent? He's not the Messi equivalent in Brazil, right? Messi is the reason that Argentina's squad can progress. They need Messi. I don't think you could say the same about Neymar. Neymar is very talented, very good, but... The surrounding pieces, the pieces that go in around him for Brazil, are better than they are for Argentina and Messi.
Brazil is a more all-around team.
Right.
I think Neymar is very important, but as you said, I don't think he is absolutely needed to win a tournament.
Right.
He's just that star on top of the tree.
Right.
That you look at and you go, wow, look at all these ornaments. This... piece together, you go, wow, that's an impressive squad.
It's a good-looking tree.
Yeah, and then when you put the star on it, literally the star in Neymar, you're like, holy cow, that's a crazy good team. Now, in the Olympics, you know, the rule is, you know, you only get, what, 3 players over the age of 23 in the squad?
I think that's correct.
Yeah, is Neymar? I don't think he's...
He's over 23.
I believe that he is. I believe that he will make a big difference in the tournament. He's 24. So, I think he'll make a big difference in that tournament. I think he'll dominate it without a doubt.
Yeah.
He's also in Brazil.
Yeah, people that's another thing. Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, the Brazil Olympics are coming up. Yeah, he's going to play for Brazil in the U.S. In the Olympics.
And I think that's what everyone here that's upset about it's missing is that, yeah, if we had say the Copa America in one of the future Olympics is in, we'll reverse the roles just for simplicity, is in Brazil. And the Olympics are in the U.S. And let's say Pulisic is this huge international star now.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want him representing us in our own country for the Olympics or the Copa? I think the choice is clear.
And in this scenario, we actually made the Olympic tournament. So.
Oh, yeah. We have to make it first, but you catch my drift here.
But Pulisic helped us get over that hump. That's what happened. He was the star that led us to the Olympics.
Yes, now we have a backstory to this hypothetical situation here.
Yes, now I can see what you're saying. It all makes sense.
I think the choice is clear. I think that he was always going to play for Brazil, in Brazil. Obviously, the media alone, the publicity alone, massive. Because you're going to sell more Brazilian shirts with Neymar on it in Brazil than you are here.
And I think that the Americans who are upset about it need to, I don't know, get over it and root for your own team, maybe? I don't know. Probably something like that.
They're probably the same people who are happy Jordan Morris plays for the Sounders.
Ugh. So we're saying that they are Alexi Lalas, is what we're saying.
I think we are. And you know my thoughts on Lalas. Not a fan.
Just
want to
punch him all in the face. Punch him all. Disseminating poor information about how soccer should be handled to a wide audience.
The guy only played in MLS.
How does he know?
In a poor time in MLS.
Right, yeah.
And it's just sad that people go, oh yeah, we love what this guy does. We love what he talks about. He's so right. When in reality, he's not at all.
If he did not have a job commentating, no one would remember him as a player. Just like nearly every other player from the teams back then, no one would remember them.
Well, he thinks he's the end-all and be-all of U.S. soccer. And the thing is that we ignore people that know what they're talking about because Lalas is the loudest voice in the room.
Mm-hmm. He is that.
Anyways, we could rant about Lalas all day. That could be a whole separate podcast.
Let's put that on the docket for later on when we have something more valuable to talk about with him.
But we'll go into a brief EPL season recap. What a crazy season it was in England. I mean, just we knew who was going down 5 weeks before it was over. Well, one team at least.
Yeah.
And then we knew the other two teams who were going down a week before it was over. And then Leicester City are the champions. I watched all season long thinking, oh, they'll blow it this week. They'll blow it this week. They'll blow it this week. And oh, maybe they won't blow it. Oh, they didn't, but they won.
They would squeak out those 1-0 victories or the 1-1 draws with the goal in the 90th minute. Just time and again.
Well, that's what's so incredible is it the fact of how. You know, this team that barely avoided relegation last year.
Miraculously, you could say, avoided relegation.
Yeah, and now they are champions of England. They will be playing in the Champions League against knowing their luck. They'll get a decent draw while Man City gets stuck with Barcelona again. We won't go into that.
Barcelona, Real, and whoever Zlatan joins.
Yeah, and it's like, you get to the point of Leicester. Personally, I think if they're not careful, they're going to be in a relegation scrap again.
Right. They not careful. They have to open their wallets.
Well, and they have the money. I saw a report that they now have 400 million pounds they could spend from profit, winnings, and the TV deal.
You know, that's a pretty penny right there. That is a nice chunk of change.
But the thing is, will they be able to attract the top talent while being able to keep theirs?
I think step one is try to keep yours. And then step two, you could roll the dice. Try somebody who may not be top talent, but has a potential to be.
Well, I think that their issue will be, even though they won, hey, come to Leicester.
We have such a history of winning last year.
Yeah, such a
storied franchise this past year.
I think they will absolutely get a shocking signing. One. I don't know who it'll be. I don't know where they'll come from.
Zlatan.
I think they'll get one signing where you go, whoa. That's quite the signing there.
Zlatan. They're going to get Zlatan.
I doubt it'll be Zlatan. I don't think they can afford Zlatan's wages and just... I'd like to see that. That'd be fun.
I think Zlatan would try to buy the whole town, probably, right?
He probably could. That guy makes a ton
of money. Probably could. He'd just become like a land baron outside of Leicester. Just buy up a bunch of family farms and have tenant farmers. Wow, this is a weird move for Zlatan. Just saying.
Well, not weird for Zlatan. Zlatan does what Zlatan wants.
It's true. It is true.
And the other teams that will be in the Champions League are Arsenal, Tottenham, and Man City.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me those three would be in the Champions League at the beginning of the season, I would have said, maybe Arsenal and City. And then you throw in Tottenham. And Leicester. Like, whoa, okay. That's such a weird mix of teams right there.
Have you been
hit? Tottenham could be dangerous, though.
Mm-hmm.
If this is another if scenario, if they're able to keep all their young talent, they could be deadly.
Mm-hmm. They could catch you by surprise.
But I think they're going to lose some guys.
Probably.
I think that Harry Kane will leave this summer for Man United.
Ugh.
Yeah, I hate it, but I think... You know, I make a lot of people upset when I say this. I think Harry Kane is a product of the system.
Oh,
I think that he thrives at Tottenham.
Yeah.
I don't think he thrives as a pure striker.
You don't think he'll be able to carry himself outside of the structure? Well, you know, maybe
they came in as relative underdogs.
Well, how? Or they have. Man U has Jose Mourinho coming in as the coach, correct? I think I saw that. No, sorry.
Manager.
He is replacing...
Yeah, he is...
Louis van Gaal, who was a failed experiment.
Well, technically, he was not. He actually had some pretty good success with the club.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, they wanted... EPL title with him, yeah?
Did they?
I'm fairly certain he's won a title with United, but they just won, literally yesterday,
the FA Cup. Yeah.
In a pretty crazy game, but it was like, while he has not been the most, popular manager.
Right.
Is the right word. No, I guess they did not win a Premier League with him.
I didn't think so.
No, they won it before him. But he did not win one. but he won an FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think the Jose Mourinho move is equally as stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about rags to riches within months. The man won an EPL title with Chelsea, only to make them battle in about 17th place, about 10 games in.
They were very poor, yes.
Well, the players gave up on him, and by the time that Goose Hiddink motivated them to play better, they finished in like 10th. For Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea. Perennial.
Historically great team.
Yeah. Generally, you would see them in the Champions League, the top four.
Recent history, I should say.
Yeah.
And that's just it. Why would you want this guy after that? Yes, he won a title at Chelsea. But he could not keep players happy. Man United already struggles with keeping players happy.
That is true.
So what are they going to do now with another manager that makes them unhappy? They're just going to quit again. So as a Manchester City fan, I'm rejoicing at the stupidity that Ed Woodward shows every year in hiring managers. I mean, what is the thought process? Hey, let's get the big name guy who's not going to do anything
That's exactly what I was going to say. You got to get the flashy pick. You got to get the flashiest hire because you're at Man U.
I'm happy about it as a City fan because it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid.
Whereas you have hired Pep Guardiola, a man who has taken Bayern Munich to great heights again and
he
again.
He has been a top-flight manager for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
He has 21 trophies, major trophies.
You know, that's a significant, that's a significant amount of trophies.
So City and United were both interested in Pep.
Mm-hmm.
Pep chose Manchester City for an abundance of reasons.
Right.
Obviously, we have a larger transfer budget. We have, I think, better players in place already.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot better facilities than they do, especially youth academy-wise. So you've kind of got this, that big, I think the big moment for City showing that we were bigger than United today was Pep.
Right.
Pep choosing Man City was huge, because he could have gone to United.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, United were ready to fire Van Gaal halfway through the season so Pep could come in.
Right.
But he chose to go to City. And with that, I think that shows how you can have all the history in the world, but not have a great future.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be United. And we touched on United's FA Cup final victory today, or yesterday, against Crystal Palace, in which Palace scored first, and I believe the 75th minute, and then United scored in about the 82nd, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then United went on to win with a great, and I mean great, goal from Jesse Lingard. If you have not seen it, check out our blog. We are going to put a video of this on the blog. What a goal to win the game. And United won the FA Cup basically to add salt to the wound on Van Gaal leaving, saying, hey, congrats, you won a trophy, what we asked you to do, now get out.
There's the door. Get out.
And I think I would be happy with either United manager because they're both bad. But I think to keep the fans happy, they had to make a change.
Right.
And they all wanted Pep. But you can't have Pep.
Your rivals, your blood rivals got him.
Yeah, your blood rivals got him. And we're going to win the league next year.
Win the league. Win the Champions League.
Hey, whoa. Calm down, man. We haven't even made any summer transfers yet.
Well, when you buy Messi and Neymar and
so we're going to buy Barcelona.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what you're going to do. You're literally going to purchase the team. Like, you guys are going to collect your funds and become the owners as a team of a different team in Spain. It's a really weird...
like, five teams worldwide.
It's a really weird thing. You're going to change their colors to your colors. You're going to call it Barcelona City. And you're going to bankrupt them in 3 years, and everybody's going to riot. So, it's a poor future. I don't know why you guys chose it. It's a bad idea.
You know, you do what you have to do to get messy.
That's right.
You bankrupt a team, you enrage a country, whatever. You know, it's all worth it when you get messy.
That's it. That's right. Wars have been started over less.
Couple international friendlies today. USA played Puerto Rico in kind of a makeshift US squad.
How much do we win that again?
3-1.
Okay. See, when you said Puerto Rico earlier, I heard Costa Rica, which is a good. That would have been a good win. But that's not an impressive win.
It's a good warm up game.
Yeah, it's a good warm up game, but. Then when England plays Turkey, that's like a similar type of situation there. I heard Costa Rica. I'm like, oh, we beat Costa Rica. That's a good win. It's a good win for us.
England won 2-1. Goals from Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy.
Wow, just keep it on their roll, huh?
Yeah, they were the two top goal scorers in England, and they kept it up. Both of these were friendlies, obviously, so we're not really going to get into them. In my mind, friendlies are pretty stupid.
so much venom in that stupid that you just said. Stupid.
I mean, yeah, it's a practice for your country. Why do we play like 10 a year? Or in the women's national team case, like 40.
Well, because they have to make money somehow.
Yeah, well, they're already salaried by the U.S. Soccer Association. No one talks about that.
How the pay structure is completely different. I think that's an entirely different topic that we're about to breach right there.
We will have a different podcast on that as well.
Let's wait till we get some fresh news out about that. As in, when the judge says, you guys are crazy, you can maybe make a few adjustments, but you're already pretty well compensated for what you do.
Well, the thing is that they do sell out some impressive arenas, like once a year.
Right.
Like, they didn't even sell out here in Nashville when I went to the game. It was vastly empty. They filled the lower bowl, and even then there was a ton of open seats. Mm. But you go to they were talking about in the press box, the difference between the men's game the year before when they played Honduras in Nashville.
Right.
Compared to the women's game against France, who was number 3 in the world.
Right.
And then the game after that, was
England-Germany, right?
England and Germany, which is 2-5. Are you kidding me? And they only got about, I think it was 29,000 people.
I think I went to a game, I think it was a World Cup qualifier in Tampa with TNT. We played Trinidad and Tobago. I think there were more people there for that.
That's what I'm saying, is that we could get into this all day. But when you want to have the equal pay factor in there, it's a whole argument that you're going to have to say, we get more than the men in this, 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 and this. And I think a lot of people just took the women's word on it, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a lot of that stuff was just not true. That they sold more shirts in total. That's not true. Maybe this year Because it was a World Cup year.
Right. It's a World Cup year. They made it to the finals, so all the people who are in for a different country wanted to buy a jersey for the finals, right? What you would do if you were, if you, one, had enough money to go to the World Cup, two, had enough money to fly into the World Cup from another country, three, you're going to have enough spending money to buy a jersey for one of the teams in the final.
Yeah, and I think that the big argument for me as well is that the women's team made about, or I think the World Cup in total for the women's made about $600 million. It's pretty impressive, yeah. Until you look at what the men's World Cup in Brazil made, $3
billion. Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to bring, like, money involved in what you make, let's not jump into that, because there's 1,000 other arguments talking about this. And when they talk about, oh, we don't get paid much for each game, okay, the men do, because there's so much turnover.
Well, you know, it's more because the women already have a salary, right?
Well, yes.
Their primary source of income is the women's national team, whereas the men all have their own club teams that they play for, and that's their primary source of income. So they don't get a salary from the national team. So their appearance fee is much higher because that's their pay for the game. They don't get anything outside of the game other than endorsements, because it's not through the U.S. men's soccer team. It's a completely different pay system that the women fought for and got. They got health care, they got health coverage, they got transportation and lodging coverage, they got salary coverage. And then they still get bonuses for the games. They still get the bonuses built into their contracts for goals and clean sheets and things like that. And they still get their purse bonuses. That stuff will be equal to or in the same sort of pay scale as the men.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I think you're right. The judge will find that adjustments could be made, but you're making as much money.
I will say I am all for fair pay when you look at the numbers and the balancing of the budget. I'm all for fair pay. I want them to be able to get their fair share. But to say that they should be paid equally means that they have to make an equal amount of money and have the same sort of paying system. That's how you get to an equal pay. Because as of right now, you're going to have to put a monetary number on your healthcare value. You're going to have to put a monetary value on your lodgings. And then you'll have to balance it with what the men make. And you're going to find that some men's players don't make nearly as much because, you know, they get called up for a friendly against a Greece or something, because there's like five guys who are like, I don't want to go play in Greece against Greece. I'm just going to stay with my club team for now, guys. Is that okay? Like, yeah, we'll just pull up, you know, Johnny Tremaine from so-and-so such and place.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, is that if you want to compare travel costs and lodging from men to women, you're going to see a massive difference. Because where are our guys coming from? Europe. You know, if there's a game in Tampa, they're coming from Europe. They're coming from Los Angeles. They're coming from New York. I don't think the women's team can say the exact same. They're going to be across the America, but most of them all come together and make a, you know, they make like super teams in these women's leagues.
Right.
That always fail after a couple of years. Like, you know, I was looking at, I think, the Portland Thorns roster, and it's got like 6 players from the national team on it. I mean, really? 6? Of course they're going to dominate.
Right.
It's all a bunch of just, I mean,
I guess we're not really saving this for another podcast. We covered most of what we would want to say about that.
Yeah. It's just, it's one of those things where I'm also for equal pay. Fair pay. Equal, fair pay. You need to be paid what you deserve.
Right. Based on how much based on how much you bring in.
Yeah, you're not going to pay the guy who has one cap to his name as much as Tim Howe.
Right.
You're not. You're just not. And I don't think the women's team sees it the same way because we know they're star players because they've been the same star players for 8 years or the last 5 or 6, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Same players. Like Tobin Heath, Alex Morgan, Carly Lloyd. There you go.
Hope Solo.
I mean, these are names we know because they are literally always in the team sheet.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah.
But I think she's
literally
retiring.
Always on the team.
Right.
Who can you say is every single time, and I mean every game, for the men? Maybe Michael Bradley?
Every game.
There isn't, because there's so much turnover.
Right. But there's just people who miss it, people are injured. Because they have tons of other soccer games to play for their club teams.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of a one-sided argument when you step back. Because they are getting paid. The U.S. soccer used to not pay them.
Well, no, they would pay them. The U.S. soccer would then take a... They would run in the red for the women's team because they were paying them. They were paying them when they didn't have the money to pay them. You'd think they would be, you know, thankful for that. And I think one of the telling things about this whole scenario is that the U.S. national team actually agreed to go into this judge for arbitration, to open the books. They didn't fight them on that. If you were hiding something, if you thought that you were going to lose, you would try your hardest to not go into a situation where your books are open. And the fact that they went in there quite willingly to open the books says that it's going to come out basically in their favor. They may have to tweak some things, and if they have to tweak some things, then they should tweak some things because of fair pay. But equal pay is something that will not happen because they do not make as much money. They just don't.
They don't make as much for U.S. soccer as the men.
Right.
Whether that be shirt sales or jersey sales.
And that's nothing against
or just
them.
Tickets.
That's nothing against them as people or as women. That is just a economic fact at the moment.
Yeah, this is sports. We're talking about sports. We're not talking about...
Talk about sports business, even. Sports business. I mean...
We are not talking about...
If they
this gender makes more than this. No, that does not matter. It is... These are facts that are saying, here's what's happening, here's what they're saying, and people are listening to what they're saying, rather than U.S. soccer being like, oh, well, here you go. We'll gladly tell you what's going on.
Right. I would say open the books, erase the names, add number, and just like assign people numbers, look at them, balance your book. That's if you do that, it comes out as fair, and that's what should happen. If they make more money than the men, they should get paid more money. For last year, they should have been paid more money than the men, I would say, probably because they made more money.
And they probably did make more money than the men because the men only played like friendlies and qualifiers. But the women...
Well, I think they had the Gold Cup last year, right? But we got knocked out early and barely played.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Oh, that brings me to a point. I think that this is quite a do or die scenario for Jurgi. I think this tournament is very important for Jurgi.
You would fire Jurgi 2 years before the World Cup. You're not going to give a coach 4 years.
I'm just saying that the feel of right now is very anti-Jurgi. If he doesn't do well in this, I wouldn't put it past us. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the thing on U.S. soccer that it really grinds my gears, as Peter Griffin would say. People want success now. Right. They want us to be winning World Cups now. They want us to be dominating now. How is he supposed to do that with a team relatively still inherited from Bob Bradley? And most of the guys he's been able to bring in who are young have found success. John Brooks has come in. Julian Green scored in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
It was too little too late, but he scored in the World Cup.
Right.
Pulisic has come in under him. These are guys
Jermaine Jones.
That listen to him and play well.
Mm-hmm.
So why do people not like Jurgen? As Abby Wambach said, we should not be playing anyone that's not from America.
Well, that's,
and I think that explains.
I agree with her. You know, if you're not an American, you shouldn't play for our team. Because you're literally not allowed to.
You have to. These people are Americans.
Huh?
That's too bad these people are Americans.
Yeah, these people are Americans. It does if you have an American, if you can get on the American team, you are American.
It baffles me that people looked at her and went, "Yeah, absolutely."
No,
100% agree.
I don't care who's on our team. I want I do care. I want the best players on our team. I don't care where they come from. I don't care if they're half German, half like Kenyan. I don't care if they're half anything. If they're half American, that's enough for me. I want the best players on the team. And that is what Jurgen has done. He has gone out. He has gotten our best players. He has made sure that they don't commit to other nations by getting caps on them while they're young. Aaron Johansson, who's not on the squad right now, I'm not sure why, he could have gone to Iceland. He didn't. We capped him for the United States. It's a small win, but it's a win nonetheless.
Yeah, he's young and he's talented. It's a win.
Is he on the... I didn't see him on the squad, I don't think.
He's not on the team. Not right now. But he is a... He's a young, talented player.
Mm-hmm.
Jurgen has set us up for future success. And he said that coming in. That we were not going to be winning things overnight. Too bad people go, oh, well, here we are, what, 6 years in, if that, saying, oh, well, Jurgen hasn't done anything. Yes, he has.
We have five players under 23 on our Copa America roster. That's over 20% of our team is under 23. That's very good.
He has changed the culture of U.S. soccer.
That is true.
He has changed
for the better.
Yeah, for the better, to make us relevant. Who would have cared in a Copa America about U.S. 8 years ago?
No one.
Now you do, because we've done really well in World Cups. And Jurgen has been the source of that in the last one.
Oh, Horvath plays for Molde IK. I don't know who that is. I don't know where that is. You were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah, I just think it's... Like, people want Caleb Porter to be the next men's national team coach. Maybe.
Who?
But does he know how to run the whole system?
Right. 'Cause,
Can he control different egos? He coaches in MLS, and he's been relatively successful in it. Not even fully successful. They won the title.
Yeah, they won the Community Shield last year.
And that's it, right?
I'm not super well versed in the history of the MLS, but they haven't. Before that, I don't remember the Timbers winning anything other than games against the Sounders, because they were rivals for a long time. Have been rivals since their inception, probably.
Well, good coach, good young coach. I think he's in his early 30s or late 30s, and he's in his 30s. But it's one of those things where, I don't think he should take over from Jurgen anytime soon. Maybe after Russia, and even then, he still has to prove himself.
Right.
He was the U-23 manager for, I think, a season for the U.S. team. But I think Jurgen is a clear-cut choice to stay. Even if they don't do well in the Copa America, if you fire him 2 years before the World Cup, you're crazy. Because who's going to come in and coach this team 2 years before the World Cup?
I mean, you just have to hand it over to one of his assistants at this point.
And that would be a mistake, I think. Because if you're going to get rid of, you know, get rid of him, you got to get rid of the whole squad.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of the whole coaching staff, I should say.
The Timbers were elevated into the MLS in 2011. Before that, they were just in the NASL. So they do not have a ton of history. They won the USL First Division Commissioner's Cup as the regular season champions in 2004 and 2009. That's all they have. Yeah, Jurgi is just a little abrasive at times because he's German, and that rubs people the wrong way. He's kind of like Popovich in that way, you know? But he doesn't have enough success in the eyes of the United States people, the Americans. He doesn't have enough success under his belt in their eyes to have that sort of attitude. Even though he won a World Cup as a player. That's enough success for me.
Plenty of success.
He won the World Cup as a player, as the main player on the team. Like, he wasn't just on the squad, riding on the pine, you know, and won a World Cup. But he was the reason they won the World Cup.
I like Jurgen, and I know you like Jurgen as well.
I'm a fan of Jurgen, but, you know, he does need to start the Gold Cup result was very poor, and that's... If we need to start trending back in the right direction, otherwise I am concerned about him going forward.
I think he'll end up being okay. But anyway, we've been talking for a while about some all-over topics, from NBA to equal pay. We've been talking all day.
Oh, stop! This is a stupid foray.
I think we should end this one here.
We'll leave it here. This has been Meet Me in the Middle, a nice day of soccer. If we piqued your interest in anything or have a comment for us, be sure to leave it below or leave it on our blog. We have a new blog, mmitm.wordpress.com. That's Meet Me in the Middle, just abbreviated, mmitm.wordpress.com. You can find
us
there.
Follow us on there to stay updated when we post.
We'll have all of our posts on there. You can check it out. We're gonna have articles coming in soon. I might even get a movie review corner if that's something you're interested in. If you have any suggestions for things you want us to write about, be sure to leave that there too. You know, we've just got stuff going on, and we want you to be a part of it. So. Let us know what you think, let us know what you want, and we'll try to do our best to accommodate you. This has been Xander Fadley.
And this has been Hunter York.
And this is Meet Me in the Middle, signing off. See you guys later.
See ya.